What does innovation sound like? It sounds like the luxury of being in the moment with your customer, client, or patient. It sounds like having the right information right when you need it. It sounds like being at your best for your customers and your business. Thanks to Hyland's intelligent content solutions that improve digital processes, innovators everywhere are able to do their thing better, whatever that thing is. Now, who doesn't like the sound of that? Hyland, for innovators everywhere, visit Hyland.com.
You should be the host here.
I'm really laughing at you.
We're both Munster people, diehard Munster people, and we want them to do well.
The Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.
I'd like to think I know a lot. Welcome along to episode 3 of the Red 78, your one-stop shop for everything Munster, right here on the Rugby Channel. I'm Alan Quinlan, and joining me as usual is legend of Munster rugby and Grand Slam winner, Niamh Briggs. How are you, Niamh? How was your weekend?
Oh, not too bad, Quinny. Tough weekend. Bows lost, Munster lost, Spurs lost. Wasn't a good weekend for teams that I support, but I'm coming around.
Well, you're coaching UL Bows, so you had a hand in that loss to Railway yeah. Union. So are you coming under any flack or any pressure from anyone there for a bad result?
I hope not. But tough weekend for us for sure.
Yeah, Munster on Saturday night. We'll get into that in a few minutes. And I didn't know you were a Spurs fan. I'm a Liverpool fan, so I was happy on Sunday. It was such an emphatic win for Liverpool.
Oh, my gosh.
I couldn't even slag my Man United friends. But anyway, so the Red 78, what's in store? Every week we're going to be looking at the biggest stories going on in the world of Munster rugby, analysing the games, getting some big name guests, which we haven't got yet, but we will in the next few weeks.
And you're a big enough name, Quinny.
Yeah, exactly. We look what's going on in the women's game, underage and club level, and we're going to look into the AIL next week and everything that's going on in Munster rugby. We're always looking for your feedback, so your thoughts on what's happening in Munster. The best way to get in touch is to tweet us. We want you to get involved at Rugby Channel 15 or leave a comment wherever you're watching this across the Rugby Channel social media pages. We'll get around to them as best we can each week and open up the discussion. And of course, please subscribe to the podcast. Just search for the Red 78 and you'll get your podcast straight to your phone every week. Okay, so we mentioned, Niamh, the performance. This block of games, Munster have had 5 games. They've won 4. The first 3, lots of positives in the first 3. I suppose the positive in the 4th one against Connacht was a win, but the performance wasn't probably what we'd expect or what you'd certainly want at home to Connacht and Thomond Park. And we said it last week that if they could get this 5th game against the Ospreys, get a win, that it would end up being a very positive. They finished on a negative in this block. What was your assessment of what happened on Saturday night against the Ospreys? They were beaten 18-10 away from home.
Yeah, I think probably frustration is probably the overlying emotion, I think, because they really just didn't fire or get going. I think their set pieces under pressure, their discipline wasn't great, and it's very difficult then to try and put yourself on the front foot if you're not meeting that gain line. So definitely areas, and I think the frustrating thing from that coaching ticket will be so many silly mistakes and compounding errors upon errors, which, you know, sometimes I don't know if you ever know when you're playing a game and you kind of get into this kind of funk or a dip within the game, you're trying to get yourself out of it. The harder you try, the worse you seem to be getting, maybe, and it kind of spreads across the team. I just think there was just a litany of errors and just a disappointing end. More so in the fact that, you know, it's 5 weeks now out of the game, so you can't really correct it quickly. I think that would just probably be the point of frustration.
We'll deal with the facts here first. So the Ospreys are missing all their Welsh internationals, and Munster have most of theirs, I think. Obviously, there's a couple of players out injured. Chris Farrell, Damien Dielende is just back in the squad. Conor Murray's first involvement. So there's players undercooked for Munster, but still, you think that they should have enough to go to the Ospreys. I watched the Ospreys coach before the game, and to be fair, I was wary of this one. We were wary against the Scarlets a few weeks ago for the reasons that they had all their Welsh internationals, and it was a very kind of inexperienced Munster side and a young Munster side that went over there, and they produced a brilliant performance, scoring 6 tries, winning 43-13. This was kind of the opposite. They're missing their internationals, the Ospreys, and Munster are stronger. So I thought that there was a potential banana skin here. I didn't expect to have the same sort of free-flowing performance, but I thought Munster would win. I thought they should have won, and they should have certainly expected to win the game. But when I watched Toby Booth before the game, I sensed that it was backs to the wall stuff for them, and that they were just going to throw everything at Munster and really try and just get stuck in and amongst them. And they did so. They really frustrated them. They caused them problems at the breakdown. Aggressive carries. The scrum was caused them issues. And as the game went on, I thought, yeah, Munster, look, they're going to have to deal with this. And they just didn't. Was it an attitude? Because yeah. I was kind of thinking to myself, maybe the attitude is not right. Maybe the players just dropped the standard in their minds a little bit and thought that it would happen and sensed that they just needed to turn up. Because, look, the players can give out and say that that's not the case. And I know no player would have went over there thinking, oh, we're just going to turn up here. But if you're a couple of percent off it, and you know it as a player yourself, and then the mistake started to happen and it just got away from them.
I think you just hit the nail on the head there in relation to, so obviously listening to Toby Booth before it, and they kind of had this kind of backs against the wall mentality, like chip on the shoulder type of a thing. And also the fact that if you are a couple of percent off at this level, no matter who you're playing, you can't really afford that at this level, especially this year with this new kind of URC. I think the standard has gone up across the board. I just think sometimes it's very difficult to try and get to them to that mental pitch, you know, 5 weeks in a row. It's incredibly difficult, irrelevant of whether you're in and out of the team or, you know, you haven't played for the whole 5 weeks. The freshness of the group, I think that's something that maybe that they might look at going forward, because at this level, like, everybody's a really good rugby player and everybody can do all the basics really, really well. What sets you apart in teams? And when you look at the likes of, you know, a Leinster's or a Connacht's and stuff like that can play this free-flowing rugby, what sets them apart from a Munster team? Well, it's their ability to get to that emotional pitch and be able to balance it really well. I just think that sometimes you need that underdog type of thing. Does a favourites title sit well with them? They were definitely favourites to win that. And like your era, don't take it the wrong way, but you were brilliant with the chip on the shoulder tag and the underdog tag. And I think that, you know, probably sometimes Munster need that. Maybe they needed that chip on their shoulder going into battle type of a game. If you can understand where I'm coming from, because I just think mentally they just didn't seem to have the same energy or the same aggression as the Ospreys.
Is that down to attitude, and is it good enough? So is it just a once-off here, and maybe Munster a big scalp for the Ospreys? Okay, we mentioned their backs against the wall, a lot of young players trying to make a name for themselves. That's not easy, you know. It was never going to be an easy game. But is it good enough for this group? Should we be blaming the coaches for that performance? Or is it player? Is this one of the ones that there's player issues? Because
I think that player group was definitely experienced enough to be able to take that game by the scruff of the neck. I think that pack struggled to get on top of that Ospreys 8. And I think when you don't gain parity up front, the game can be very difficult.
Let's talk about the game plan. So, because this is something that comes up a lot, and we're going to read out some comments from people's responses. We don't want to rely solely on social media, but certainly it's what the supporters and the fans are feeling sometimes. There has to be a balance to that. Some people use social media to be incredibly angry and we want to try and be balanced. We've said that from the start in this podcast, but we want to try and air the frustrations as well. So I'm just going to read out some comments. We'll get to the game plan in a minute. So at John Shine 89 on Twitter, that was awful again. So many flat performances like this under Johan van Gran. The talent is there. It's not being used well enough. So what would you say to that comment? Because for me, I think in the last couple of years, I think we've probably, and I know myself, I have, and other people have called for more young players to be introduced. I think they've used for over 40 players in this block of games. And a lot of the young players have got opportunities in game time. Maybe it was a very flat performance, but I think the talent was given the opportunity and they just didn't take it. Is that down to the individual talent not being good enough here, some of these players? Or is it just maybe game plan, or is it just a once-off that they've got to learn from this and bounce back?
I'm not really sure it's a once-off, because we saw moments of it in the Stormers game. We saw moments of flatness against Connacht. So from that aspect, I'm not sure. I don't really agree with the fact that on Sunday, you know, it's because like it was a lot of young players. And I think that for me, the likes of Liam Coombs, and Crowley, Hodnett, they actually looked quite sharp. There's something about Liam Coombs I'd like to see more of. I'd like to see more of in that 13 channel, I think. And, I feel like he looks a little bit electric, and we seem to not give him the ball enough, I think. And, but just seemed to be, there seemed to be, there was a lot of experienced players there that just didn't really seem to grab.
So let's talk about the young players. Okay, so John Shine 89 on Twitter is saying that we the talent is there, it's just not being used well enough. So I'm not sure what he means well enough. Is that down to coaching or is it down to the game plan? Because at the weekend we saw Liam Coombs, Jack Crowley, Craig Casey. Okay, he's an international now, but he's still a young player. Finian Witcherly is still quite young. Let's go to the bench. Kenya Knox came off the bench. Josh Witcherly, John Hodnett. We've seen Jack O'Sullivan, Thomas Ahern get game time. Dermot Barron has done really well. Calvin Nash.
Thomas Ahern. Do you not just think, though, can I ask a question?
We've seen a good few of these players in the last few weeks, so I think it's a bit unfair to say they're not being used. They're being used, but are they being held back a little bit by a direct approach and Munster relying on scoring a lot of forward tries, mall tries in the last few weeks? Some of the talk on the papers and from other analysts has been, well, if you stop Munster getting into your 22, stop them getting mall tries, don't give away penalties and frustrate them, get in their faces that they can't really break you down. And maybe some of that's true.
Same for most other teams, though, Quinny, to be fair. Like, you know, bar the likes of a Leinster, you know, most other teams, if you stop them up front, then it's going to be very difficult for them to be able to break this down. I just think it's just difficult. It's not a case that we're going direct, really, because we saw the complete opposite against Scarlets. I think it's just going to try and find a balance. I think a couple of things, we need to see players, like, I'd rather wait till 5, 6, 7 months into the season, like, maybe, and judge.
Will that not be too late, though? Do they need to recalibrate themselves here? Johan van Gran said, and I was glad he said it after the game, he said it's not good enough. If I was a player, I'd want him to get all over the players here and put massive pressure on them, because I think it's heaping unnecessary pressure. You can lose matches and there's no problem. I wouldn't have the arrogance, and I'm sure this team wouldn't be arrogant to think that you can just turn up in the Ospreys and go to Wales and win, because you're going to get a team that are going to just be given everything. Their backs are to the wall, as I said, trying to make a name for themselves. But I just think they need to find a little bit of a ruthless edge, and it wasn't good enough from the attitude, the aggression, the energy. They were actually, some parts of the first half were okay, but they just kind of backed up. So three entries into the. So what do they do if they're making these kind of mistakes in a game like this? So three trips into the Ospreys 22 in the first half, first one was a 5 meter line out, a penalty kicked into the corner. Finian Wycherley drops the ball. They didn't go up on the line out. Okay, it's a mistake. We don't want to highlight the player that he was sloppy and he didn't want to catch the ball. It's a mistake, but you need to switch on. You need to be probably really focused in that position a lot more. It's a mistake. Then from the try, John Ryan gets ahead. He's blocking there. It was picked up by Mike Adamson on the TMO, which would have been a really crucial score for him. And it would have really kind of set the tone for him. Then they had another line out. Craig Casey gives a forward pass. Great ball off the top. Liam Coombs, maybe he overran it a little bit. It's a forward pass. It's a turnover again. So that's three entries into the Ospreys 22 and zero return.
Completely. And I think that was what I was speaking about beforehand in relation to that element of frustration. Like, you know, when you get into those scoring, the top teams, when they get into those scoring zones, they come away with points every single time. And, you know, really silly mistakes throughout the game. Obviously, those three that you said, Delande, you know, with an overlap, passing the ball behind everybody, kind of Murray, nobody seems to understand.
Well, look, in fairness, at the end of the game, I could see that happening because it just, the momentum was switching. And it doesn't matter if you're playing against the All Blacks there. It just had that feel that no matter what Munster did, the Ospreys just grew and grew and grew in stature, and they sensed that this was their match to win, and this was
no,
their big night.
I get
night.
That, Quinny, but I'm just saying like that.
But it's not good enough. We're
that's
not
more saying, it's not more enough. More errors, and like they just reverted then to one out runners, and then you get to an edge, and you're thinking, okay, just reset it, come back off the edge, come up, start to penetrate through the middle, and then space will open up. But then we just kick the ball away again, and just kicking the ball away at unnecessary times. And I think that's frustration.
I can't see how that's the plan. There was one there, and I made some notes on... here's another mistake. After Craig Casey scores a try, Andrew Conway catches the ball after restart, and Craig Casey kicks it out in the full. Okay, it's miscommunication. Someone needs to let him know that it was taken out and take pass back in. 65 minutes, Ben Healy, after, you know, putting it through the hands, having some phases, kicks the ball away, turnover. 75 minutes, line out halfway line, Munster maul it forward, Conor Murray kicks it away to the Ospreys. It's a box kick. Okay, he's kicking to try and get it back. But they catch the ball and they win it and they end up getting a penalty from it. Massive lift for them. You're chasing the game there. You're trying to get something out of it. Ball is kicked away. This is something that probably needs to be reviewed, and the game management from the players needs to be better, and they need to be more switched on here. So look, it's easy for us and it's easy for everybody talking, but you know, I have another comment here. Terry O'Sullivan on Twitter, just can't get my head around Munster at the moment. On the last week, on the last 2 weeks' performances, is there one player who would make the Irish 15 at the moment? Serious questions need to be asked. So let's see if we can find one player. There's nine of them in the Irish squad at the moment. Dave Kilcoyne, Tadhg Byrne, Gavin Coombs, Peter O'Mahony, Joey Carberry, Andrew Conway, Keith Earls, Conor Murray and Craig Casey. So if you're picking your team for Japan next, pick your team for the All Blacks.
No, I think
which one of those Munster players will start?
Probably Andrew Conway for me.
Terry O'Sullivan is asking us that question.
I think he looks the sharpest, probably Andrew Conway. But other than that...
No Tadhg Byrne starting for the Lions this summer, not at the moment.
He's only a couple of games in. Conor Murray, same. Like, you know, we've got to be fair to them too, and fair to that process. But then you look at Dame Delande, has been playing rugby for the last 6 or 8 weeks and didn't really make a huge impact. And now I know it's hard, like you're looking for some big moment of magic off him, but I just thought look, sometimes, you know, when you're there's mistakes happening and at critical times, they can just kind of feed throughout the team. And I think that's kind of probably what happened. I just think there just seemed to be a lot of errors from lots of different players. And that's kind of the long and short of it, really.
Should this be player driven now? Obviously, it's a difficult situation because they don't play a game now for 5 weeks. You'd love after a performance like that to be going out next Saturday or Friday night and try and get a bit of a feel-good factor. It's a frustrating way to end. And I've experienced that before in certain blocks when the Irish squad head away and you're left a bit frustrated. The flip side of that is if you win, And if they won this game, maybe it's a good thing it's happened now that they've got to really kind of lay down a marker as a group themselves. Look, the coaches have come under criticism. The game plan has come under scrutiny a lot. We see them trying to evolve a little bit, but I think the last 2 weeks, those questions have come up again. The attack, the basic skills, the catch pass skills, because it wasn't just the attitude here or them being just a little bit off. I think some of the skills are really poor as well, and that's kind of concerning. So should this be player driven now that they've got to set a better standard for themselves if they want to be a team that's going to win a trophy at the end of the season? There's no guarantees with that, but if they want to be in the mix, maybe it's a good thing for this to be happening now.
Yeah, look, I think sometimes you can learn more from a defeat than a win, and I think that's really cliche to say, but it's the truth. I think, you know, I think they've got to realise as a group of players that...
Let's not get away from it, Niamh. It's been two bad weeks.
Yeah, but...
They won the Connacht game.
Yeah.
You could take the positives out of that. But it's
probably shouldn't have won. Yeah,
it's a performance of 2 weeks in a row there.
Yeah.
Now, for any of the listeners, there is mitigation. All those changes. There hasn't been continuity in selection for reasons that you've got to use the squad and you've got to try and play players and give them opportunities and hope that they will bring quality each week. When you can play the same team for a couple of weeks in a trot, they'll get better together. Some players just coming back, undercooked, all that kind of stuff. We're not taking away from the fact that that Munster team that was selected on Saturday night should have went to the Ospreys and should have been good enough to win. And I mean that respectfully to any Welsh people that listen to this podcast. I'm sure they'd admit it themselves. The Ospreys get a massive bounce after that game for their break. They climb up the table a bit and they've beaten Munster, or a big scalp. But
I think now you're looking back and going, 4 wins out of 5. Okay, you know, it's not too bad. I just think it's the manner of the performances the last couple of weeks, like just flat and lacking of energy and just reverting back to one-out runners. And I think...
But one-out runners, Niamh, on Saturday night that were slow...
Slow, ponderous, 100%.
When the Ospreys loose forwards seem to be just running on with so much more aggression. And that's what frustrated me first. And I remember, Dick, that we went to Neath probably in 2001 or 2002 with a very strong Munster side. We went to the Knoll, it was called, and it was Neath back then, not the Ospreys. And we lost that league game. And I remember Declan Kidney being so furious with us after the game about being bullied and about losing the collisions and losing the aggressive battle, if you like. And it just some of that reminded me of that the other night. And in those kind of games away from home, refereeing decisions go against you, little knock-ons, mistakes creep in. And that negativity seemed to seep throughout the team. So that's something they got to really grasp and get hold of quickly.
And as a player group, though, as a coaching group?
No, as players as well.
100%, I agree,
Look, you can say what you like about the attack, and questions will be asked until we see crisp, free-flowing attack when needed. Munster can't get away from the DNA of that being, you know, using their forward power and taking on teams up front. But the players have got to take ownership of that and make sure that no matter what game they have going forward for the rest of the season, even if they lose, that they show a bit more energy, aggression, bite. And I think one player, that I've seen that from since the start of the season is Peter O'Mahony. I saw him the other night and just fighting and scrapping and having a real attitude. And there wasn't players around him with the same kind of bite or aggression. They had the fear going to the Scarlets, and maybe they thought they could turn up here and that it would just happen for them. You've got to make this stuff happen, and it's a harsh lesson for them. Do you think it's the internationals that Munster needs to find a bit of spark and form? And maybe it's a good thing now that they've got 4 out of 5, even though we dissected it enough there. I think the Ospreys game wasn't good enough. They got the result against Connacht. But in the next few weeks, do you think that the likes of Dave Kilkine, Tygbourne, Coombs, Mahoney, Carberry, Conway, Earls, Murray, Casey, that if they have positive moments and positive game time with Ireland in the next few weeks, that maybe they will come back and ignite a spark into the group again and bring their experience and have some games under their belt. Because I know from personally, it's difficult. You know, you play one or two games. It takes a while to get up to speed. And we always had a thing with Munster when I played was that the players who were the non-internationals, if you like, don't look at the internationals to come back from these blocks and expect them to just take to bring all the quality and step up to the plate as well. So I think that's a really crucial thing now for in the next while.
Quinny, to be fair, I think a lot of those non-internationals have actually been playing quite well.
Yeah.
I think for me, it's more the senior players that need
to... that's the point.
Completely. You know, and to be fair, yeah.
They've had a mix and match season. Conor Murray, as we said, is just back. Tyke Byrne only back the week after. They need matches. So
yeah,
I'm saying maybe it'll be a good thing that they get some game time, some really clinical
confidence
group sessions with Ireland. They're in the camps for a couple of weeks, that maybe they will come back and they'll have their spark. Then the young fellas, we mentioned, you know, Thomas Ahern, Jack O'Sullivan, even Chris Clute was brilliant the last few weeks. Josh Richerly coming off the bench, lots of energy and
he's plenty of fight in him, hasn't he?
Plenty of fight in him. And I like that. Yeah. I like that attitude. You know what I mean? And in fairness, Finian Witcherly, Liam Coombs, there's lots of these guys, that Calvin Nash, there's lots of young players that I think the mixing and matching hasn't helped them, but they've got to get the internationals now to try and find a little bit of form. And you mirror that together and for this incredibly difficult block. So what's happening now? They have a couple of days off, I think, this week. Some players will have some time off. Some players will go to the AIL. So we have Les O'Gorman here. Munster's consistency with Scarlett's, Connacht, Ospreys, performances like that were worlds apart. And then Dunzer, at Dunzer 15, wants to know what role will the AIL play in the next?
I think it'll be hugely crucial. I think we've heard Van Grants and Leo Cullen, to be fair, speak about it over the last few weeks about how important the AIL is starting to be now, because there's no A games, there's no B and I Cup, which I think, thank God, because I think that it's brilliant to see these guys back in playing club. And there's an opportunity for them to play now over the next few weeks. I think we'll touch on it next week, obviously, because we'll hopefully know who's going to be involved and who's played a bit of AIL. But I think from that point, I think it'd be brilliant to be able to see guys that are playing rugby with Munster a couple weeks ago against Scarlets and then lining out for Shannon, Garion, your Munsters. I think it'd be super.
Okay, yeah, hopefully we'll see lots of these guys playing in the next few weeks and get game time. We didn't mention Jack Crowley. I thought that... he wasn't one that you could lay the blame for Saturday night's performances. Showed a bit of spark, so some lovely touches at times. So, and he's played AIL in the last.
Yeah, I think he showed a lot of maturity too. I'm so excited to see him get a run of games. I think he looks the real deal, Quinny. I really do. And what I loved about him too is he absolutely did not shirk any defensive responsibilities. Threw his body in, got a turnover at one stage. See the big hand of Jan Klein coming down to smash him on the back to say well done, and sure, he looks like a child almost compared to Jan Klein. He's just so young looking. And I think that if you're Jack Rowley coming away out of that, you'll obviously be disappointed that you didn't win, but you'll be kind of happy enough that you did well and did well in patches. But he's definitely one for the future, I think, and I think the future will be nearer than what we think.
Should he have started on Saturday night? Should Damian D'Alenda played outside him because he started? Or
yeah, made that point beforehand. I thought that was actually a really good point. Why wouldn't you have started Damian? Maybe the fact that he'd only been back from maybe training in a session or two, but I actually really thought your point was really good beforehand when you said we only have him for that week and he's gone again. You know, putting a big, no disrespect to Dan Goggins, but putting a big runner like Delende right beside Jack Crowley, giving him an out, a World Cup winner, hugely experienced centre, and let him play himself into the game as well, I think probably wouldn't have been a bad shout.
There's a couple of other points before we finish. The rumours this week and probably in the last week or two are that the full coaching group with Munster are going to get 2-year extensions. Is that, obviously, and I know this again, from when I was shaking and shivering and worrying about contracts, you know, pre-Christmas is the time that you want to try and get deals done or not done, because you run after Christmas for players and coaches, and it just creates so much uncertainty for either party. So it looks like, and we can't confirm this because it's not confirmed yet, that the Munster coaching coaches are getting two-year extensions. Is that a good thing, a bad thing? Is it too early? Have we seen signs that there is some change happening? And what's your take on that?
Yeah, I'm not sure it can be too early. They're three years into the job now, is it? And I think it's great for stability. I think that sometimes that's, you know, you create stability as a player. But I think in relation to, look, I think it's a very fickle world, professional sports. I think you're judged on performances, you're judged on results. And I think, people might think that my Munster hat is too Munster. I can see at times what they're trying to do. I can see the evolution. I can see what Larkham's input is at times. And I like where it's going.
Is there just not enough creativity?
Yeah, and I just think lack of consistency. And we speak all the time, you know, about teams being consistent. And that's probably why they're saying, like, you know, Connacht are playing really good rugby at the moment, but they're not consistent. Well, for me, Munster aren't consistent either. And there's no real middle ground for them. They're either playing unbelievable rugby, like the Scarlets game, or they're gone down to these really slow one-off runners, box kick chases. And they've got to be able to marry that. They've got to be able to find a way where, if they can't get parity in the inside or in those tight rush defences, that they've got to be able to play out the back and play to the edges and with pace. And so from that aspect, look, I think it doesn't really upset me the fact that, you know, if that's the case that they have 2 year deal, I actually think it's good. I think from a stability point of view, from consistency point of view. And while Van Graan has been there, I think, you know, Larkham, Graham Rowntree, you know, And what's coming underneath it in relation to all that change in structure of the academies and stuff, I think we've still got to be patient.
I think this,
I don't think will be very popular things.
I think this is a critical season, and some of these young players have got to be introduced, and they have been in the last few weeks, like Jack O'Sullivan, Thomas Ahern, Jack Crowley, Liam Coombs, these players, and see if they can get in the European team and make a name for themselves, and that Munster can get. Put themselves in a position to be knocking at the door at the end of the season. And I mean this. I think there's no guarantee. Like, I don't think this situation at Munster have to win a trophy. I don't agree with that, because it's very, very difficult, no matter how good your team is, to win a trophy. But they have to be thereabouts. And if they're beaten in a semi-final or final, we don't want to be talking about, well, they kick the ball away. There's a lack of creativity. There's a lack of attack. I think that's a kind of a critical situation for the coaches. And look, I think the stability part of this is, well, the alternative is they don't sign contracts and they see out their contracts to the end of the season. And it's just week after week after week, there'll be questions asked to the coaches. Yeah. So I think they probably should be given the opportunity, but we need to see that evolution and see it a little bit more consistent. And hopefully, because I think they're good guys and they're trying their best.
I also think they've got to get into a position where we're rewarding form as opposed to credit in the bank. And I think that if a good player is playing out of his skin 1 week, then we've got to be able to reward that for the following week. And I think that will only breed competition. And I think that will only breed standards. Is it a case that some players know that they're going to be starting every week, irrelevant of how they played a week before? That's in every squad. That's not just in Munster. That's across the board. So, like, in every professional sport, they've got to take that away. So they've got to make one big decision somewhere in one big game for people to sit back and go, I've got to perform. And I think then you'll see a switch flipped.
But sport can change very quickly. You look at that Clermont performance last year in France, and that the attack there was brilliant, the execution, the attitude, everything. So, maybe one big performance, maybe a couple of big performances in South Africa and doing well there, win over Wasps, whatever, and Cass. And pre-Christmas, we could be saying, they're in a great position. So it can change very quickly. But
yeah, it's fickle. We know that.
On the evidence of what we've seen, there's concerns there that not just you and I will have, but the fans will have. And they're probably the ones who shout the loudest here. So hopefully they can do well and they can improve, because that's what we want. And the proof will be in the pudding in the results in the next couple of months. So one last thing before we go, speaking about Munster people and Munster coaches in France. We know Prendy is there, Mike Prendergast, Rog. James Collin has taken over in Toulon. He was announced as defence coach in the summer. And it's a great opportunity. It shows the mad. And I don't mean this, that James has got the job, how mad it is. But it just shows how quickly they just chop coaches there, make decisions there, and don't seem to, it's crazy when you think of the budget even Toulon have.
I just think they're
down at the bottom of the league. And
yeah, it's brilliant.
Patrick Colasso is gone.
But they obviously really hold him in high esteem, because, as you say, he's only come in over the summer. It's obviously made a big impression that, okay, Colasso's gone, but they're entrusting. Like, Jason Colby plays for Toulon. Like, these type of players are, world class. But I watched him last weekend. Incredibly, incredibly poor. Couldn't get over how bad they were. A typical French side, just shrugging the shoulders and moving on to the next. But your big pal was the big winner there.
Yeah, Rog effectively got James Collin the job, so I'm sure he'll have to buy him a beer. But look, it's great for him, and we wish him well. Super. I played with James, great fella, and it's a great opportunity for him now. So he can get a couple of results, maybe he'll get the job on a full-time.
But he's worked his way up really well, obviously, Pro D2, along all the ways into academies, and he's obviously, as I said, he must be really highly thought of from a coaching aspect over there. And okay, Prendy and Rog obviously get all the products because they're in top 14 clubs, but he's gone about his business very quietly and seems to be very effective.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a good opportunity, a great opportunity for him. So hopefully it works out and he starts getting some results. Okay, that's it from this week's episode of the Red 78. We've got to leave it. Don't forget to get in touch, because that's the whole idea, that's, we get some interaction from people and we try and get their thoughts and all things Munster throughout the week. We'll be sure to get them on next week's podcast. If anybody has any opinions on the AIL, very, very fond memories for me back in my days playing with Shannon. I don't think we'll ever see those days where we see 10, 12,000 people at games. But I think there's certainly a massive role for the AIL, and hopefully it gets some of these contracted players back playing and people get out to support the AIL. You can tweet us at Rugby Channel 15. Or search for the Rugby Channel on YouTube and leave a comment. Make sure you subscribe to the Red 78, wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see you next week. Thank you so much again, Niamh. And unfortunately, a bit of negativity this week, but that's just the reality. Hopefully in the next few weeks, we can talk about the club game and the women's game and some of the underage games as well. Okay, take care.
The Munster Rugby Podcast. Red 78 with Alan Quinlan and Niamh Briggs. Nobody knows Munster rugby better.